That is like the best intro music ever.
Right? It's so good.
Who did that? Who recorded that?
I think I found it on a royalty-free music site.
Oh, is it of that caliber? Does it remind you of royalty-free music? Does it belong in an elevator?
I think this is a MIDI cover of Never Gonna Give You Up.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure the artist might have been going for something more KK Slider, but maybe that's just the way the cards fell.
Damn. Nice KK Slider reference. Hi there, veterans of the
podcasts.
No, I was going to say, like, KK Slider era video games.
Oh, that's okay. That's our target demographic.
Yeah. Welcome to Podcasts Will Never Help You. The only podcast that helps you remember fondly the PlayStation 1, I want to say.
PlayStation 1? For what?
For KK Slider.
No, that's all. So it started out on the Nintendo 64, if I'm not mistaken. And then it would actually release for the first time overseas on GameCube.
On GameCube, yeah.
Just diving headlong into video games.
If you had an intro, I was enjoying that bit where we just vamped on your music. But, you know, okay. We still have a lot of vamping on your music to do
We've brought the flow to a screeching halt, so it's fine. We've successfully shot ourselves in the foot.
Good.
And by we, I mean me, Scabby, your co-host, and you.
Me.
What was it?
Cheech.
Cheech?
I'm trying to think of a good, like, okay, listen. Forget all that. Erase all that. Roll it back. Hi, welcome to Podcast Will Never Help You, the first ever podcast in recorded history. This is my co-host, Scooter.
No,
that's your
no.
That's your fun drive time DJ radio nickname, Scooter.
Mm.
Now we need a name for me, and since you already got the sort of jaunty two syllable iamb nickname, I have to be like some sort of barnyard animal. Like it has to be Scooter and something some animal.
Mary had a little iamb. That's a very nice concise DJ name.
That's not concise at all.
That's very concise.
It's not even iambic.
It's not. You're right. It's ironic.
Oh, the duck. Scooter and the duck. Nice.
Scooter and the duck. Okay.
Got it. Excellent. And then
it sounds like we make like really crude jokes in the AM.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like truckers just tune in to get their daily dose of like fart soundboards.
Yeah. You're listening to Scooter and the Duck, and then you say
Scooter
something.
Scooter and the douche.
No, I don't want to be the douche.
Wants to be the douche one. They just fit naturally into that position.
The word douche took on, like, I had a lot of difficulty reallocating the word douche back into my vocabulary after I found out what it actually was, like what it referenced.
Because I feel like it's weird because it's like it sounds like something that's pretty useful. So I don't know why it would be.
Yeah.
Like, so I mean,
like
I don't know. I mean, it's like, are you trying to say someone's hygienic or
yeah exactly somebody's very pragmatic and perhaps
underutilized
certainly and also remains on the fringes of mainstream society due to a concerted effort on the part of like the global patriarchy to suppress knowledge
bidets and most
also bidets
I feel like the rest of the world looks on in absolute, just abject horror at, like, just the way we treat our bodies.
Yeah, seriously. Why can't we have bidets? Like, I don't remember, like, I grew up with a bidet in one of my many childhood homes.
My parents had a bidet in their bathroom. And,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
It was just the thing they kept magazines in. For real. I don't even know what the fuck
would
it was
get
for.
Wet?
No, because no one ever used it.
That's so fucking funny.
Like, they just had it, I guess.
Actually, now that I think about it, my parents might have kept stuff in their bidet, too. But, like...
Yeah, because nobody uses that in fucking Puerto Rico.
But that's... Like, it's so underutilized. Like, all the wasted... I could have used a bidet... I could have been using a bidet way earlier in my life. Tis better to have loved than lost. Tis better to have cleaned out your butthole really, really efficiently than to never have...
Childhood.
Yeah, during your childhood.
Because
you never know when you don't have your good butt hygiene down pat when you're a child.
Speaking of buttholes, how about those video games?
How about this video game?
I don't know if you're aware, Juan, but this weekend, or not this weekend, but the last weekend. Was the Evo finals the Evo tournament in general, where fighting game contestants all the world over came to
drive mid-aughts Mitsubishi tuners, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. That sounds fucking rad. Can I say I love
that's all they did. They spun donuts around in front of the convention center.
I love that model family, and I think what they did to the version 9 forward is an absolute disgrace. It got all boxy. It took so much hits to like performance, and it lost that, you know, that sheen of cool that it had, due in no small part to its featuring in films such as Tokyo Drift.
I refuse to turn this into a Top Gear podcast. I refuse. We've had this discussion.
You gotta.
Really, I don't really know much about fighting games in general.
Well, you're in good company.
Great. I just wanted to talk about, because something I am at least somewhat familiar with is Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Cool.
It's been a hot minute since I got in to actually play Dragon Ball FighterZ, but I was still kind of interested in seeing how the championship or the grand finals played out. I really only tuned in for the grand finals just to see like the top eight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was freaking entertaining as hell, dude. Like, it was so fun to watch, due in large part to the commentary. Like, this guy named Yipes, he goes by Yipes, just really, really, really like colorful commentary in general, and like it kept it lively. But really, the main reason why I tuned in was because I don't know if you know who Sonic Fox is.
Sonic Fox? That sounds like the worst OC on DeviantArt
ever. Yeah, it's something. It's pretty. You're not far away, honestly. He's the top player of Dragon Ball FighterZ. He's also a gay furry, a gay black furry.
Holy
and,
shit!
And he fucking won.
That's a lot of
the
stuff,
Evo Grand
dude.
Finals. And so there's like a little bit of contention right now, because like it was a contentious victory because he went into the grand finals in the victor slot, which meant that his opponent Goichi, who was from Japan, there was like a huge like USA Japan rivalry going out through the entire grand finals.
The miracle on plastic.
The miracle. Wait, what?
Like the.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. I gotcha.
Like hockey.
I gotcha.
Don't you know?
Gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha. So there was that component to it. But when we finally got to grand finals, he had previously beaten him and sent him to the loser's bracket. And Goichi managed to claw himself back out and face him in the final match. But since he came from the loser's bracket, he had to win two sets instead of one.
Yeah.
He fucking wiped the floor with Sonic Fox the first set, just completely annihilated him 3-0. And then Sonic Fox decided that he wanted to switch sides to player one, because Goichi was player one in the first set.
Okay.
And it was apparently completely within tournament regulations. The tournament officiator like came over, flipped a coin to decide who would get the side. But people are saying that it was like mind games in order to like cool down Goichi, And it was like this perfect fucking Super Bowl moment where like the commentators were like saying like, oh man, Greachy looks pissed off because like he has like all the momentum in the world and Sonic Fox is kind of like halting it in his favor. And it was like this fascinating like glimpse into like, I guess the
mind of a competitor.
Yeah, and like just seeing that kind of like tactic in esports, seeing the freeze,
man,
in esports it's really weird because it's in a micro level. Like you don't usually see that in sports, like because it's usually in team sports where one can call a timeout and like ice the kicker, you know, basically. You very rarely get to see it like in real time, like see the actual person like react to someone effectively like destroying their game plan.
Fucking LeBron comes out and is like, "Hey, excuse me, Kevin Durant, come over here. Give me your shoes. Let's switch shoes.
I think they're untied. I think your shoes are untied.
Ain't nothing in the rules that says I can't take your shoes and you take my shoes." What the fuck? That's so weird. Like, that's hilarious to me because it's on that level of like minuscule shit. Like, that sounds like something that should be against like regulations because it can't have any meaningful effect on the game, and the only purpose it could serve would be to ice somebody the fuck out.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, you finished.
And I'm just saying, like, that sounds like a legitimate tactic to me. If it's not against the rules, and you're like, you got apparently just
reamed,
served on a silver platter by this dude, but like, yeah, just make it against the rules next time, guys.
I think it's valid if there's a coin toss and it's done quickly, and I don't think it's a huge, I think it was pretty brilliant, a pretty good move on his part.
Yeah, it's a good fucking play otherwise. He's the Hannibal of furry esports stars.
I guess the thing is that he's a pad player. Like he plays on a pad, which does have like a bit of a disadvantage if you're really, really used to like the, you know, fighting games are, it's hard to come back when you've lost momentum in those first, when the round first starts. And like the thing that people said was that like Dragon Ball FighterZ is like notoriously like it is, you are constantly switching sides. But those first opening moments really do like kind of set the tone for the match. You know, like if you get your ass handed to you because you like are fucking up your inputs or you don't feel as comfortable on that side of the screen, I think that's kind of valid. But on the other hand, it does just seem like a large contingent of people are just using it to invalidate someone who is ostensibly like
the best there ever was,
an outsider in terms of what one would usually see like now, winning.
Hey, now we've gotten to it. This is the serial turn on this podcast.
This guy's a fucking legend, dude. The second that he won, he gets his phone out. The first thing he does, aside from put on the furry, the furry head, Sonic Fox competes in fursuit. He has won tournaments wearing the full thing.
I was literally, at the beginning of this, I was going to ask you if the controversy was that he was wearing his pads.
That's part of it. He has now gotten pads that are quote-unquote gamer pads. He can use them while performing the sport. Okay, this guy's a fucking legend. Apparently the first thing he did when he won, aside from putting on his furry head,
nice,
he whipped out his cell phone and tweeted out, "I'm gay and I'm the best Dragon Ball Z FighterZ player ever." And then he just collapses good. on the floor.
Then in the
award ceremony, he makes them put the medal around his snout and the medal fucking fell to the floor, and he made Goichi put it back on.
Holy shit.
Just power move after power move. This man's life is nothing but a sequence of power moves.
This dude is a literal animal in many different ways.
I just wanted to say, esports are good now, actually.
Esports are good now, actually. Esports are good now, actually, because esports have, like, character, finally. Esports are not concerned with trying to look too much like professional soccer, which is like...
Yeah, fucking thank Christ.
Jesus.
Although, I am kind of surprised that there are no gifts of people, I guess, like, just scratching their balls and then, like, sniffing, taking a sniff.
All we have so far is, like, people who make, like, pretty funny signs.
Yeah. You saw that gif, right, of the German coach doing that?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? That German football coach who... It's. I think. Like, we can't even describe what he did in a way that does it justice without you actually seeing what transpired.
Yeah, there really isn't. Like, just go pull it up, folks.
I hope he had like hand sanitizer in the dugout or something because, like, holy shit!
Sorry, like, team.
You can't just bring. That's not smell you're bringing back with you. God
Ooh.
Damn.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's all I had for that.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be checking into esports again before too long. Because it's it's one of the weirdest, most absurd, but not in the way that you think, I mean, things that has ever happened to the medium. Yeah, but not now. For now, I want to talk a little bit about my my new sort of albatross that hangs around my neck. Except instead of an albatross, it's a Switch.
Is that
cartridge.
What that is? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I was meaning to ask you.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to bring it up.
Except it's not an albatross, it's a Switch cartridge, and written on the Switch cartridge in very, very tiny letters is Mario Kart 8 Super Deluxe.
Okay.
Mario Kart 8
Final. What happened?
Plus.
You turned on it?
Well, in a word, yes. Yeah, I turned on it a little bit recently because I had occasion to play the video game with other people.
Oh, when was that?
Well, you were there.
Right. Yeah, I do vaguely recall kicking your ass way up and
a
down.
A little bit of blood out of my nose and onto the luminous, opalescent pit lane of Rainbow Road, just out of sheer rage. You always forget what Mario Kart is like with other people. Like, you always forget, you know, the so dark the heart of man behind the wheel of that dinky
tiny
little
tiny
cart.
yeah
man, it's just not good, guys. It's a real shit show out there, and
I could sense your rage building with each race.
Well, yeah, that's because it was building. Scooter. That's because it was building.
That's because it was there.
Yeah. And of course, I guess before we go too long, we should give a quick hat tip or a shout out to the show's first official sponsor.
Oh my gosh, you're right. That's actually how I wanted to do the intro, and it completely slipped my mind because I'm an awful person.
Oh, you can do it now if you want.
Yes, big ups to what's her name again, Juan? I know it's something that reminds me of Nickelodeon, a particular Nickelodeon show.
Drake? Or Josh?
Josh? No, I don't think it's a live action one. I think it's like a cartoon one. One of those like kind of like
late-ish. Oh, Rocco.
Rocco's Modern Life? Rocco, yeah. Is it Rocco who sent this new microphone that I'm speaking into ever so clearly?
The fattest pipes.
I thought it was Kate Thornberry of Wild Thornberry fame.
I honestly forgot. That was like, I was trying to think of like, oh, what Nickelodeon show had a main character named Kate in it? Shit. Blanket.
Don't you remember Kate?
Yeah, that really, it was on right after, it was on Teen Nick right after I was told by Ginger.
I was literally about to say I was told by Ginger. thank you so much, Kate. It's really, it's too much. It's because of you that we keep this sputtering along.
Yeah, as our first official sponsor of the show. So that's very, we're official now. Like, we have people absolutely throwing money
at us. We esports now.
Quick, we need to have, like, we need to get, like, gamer tags, like, good gamer tags so we can go on Twitter. I mean, my gamer tag is already pretty good. Guys, come play with me. I'm Sauce of Ducks on everywhere.
I don't remember what mine is.
My friend code is 053.
Don't do that.
I don't know my fucking friend code. The Nintendo police will come for you. Who the fuck knows their friend code by heart?
It's like a second social security number one. Come on.
My social security number is 41. No,
that's on my government file on the portfolio that they keep.
Do you think? Do you think that the Japanese government at some point seriously considered making national IDs tied to friend codes?
Friend codes. Yeah. Everybody has one.
Dude,
might as well.
No shit.
Use this.
I literally read about this today. Like, social security numbers were never supposed to be like the de facto national form of identification that they currently are. They were literally just meant to like do the thing that it says on the tin, track your social security account and stuff like that. Like back when that was like in Roosevelt times, in White Wall Tires times.
Yeah. I feel like having that as the identifier is like ridiculously like.
Capitalist, you can say it.
Outdated. Yeah, capitalist, sure, but like there has to be better. Like it's like literally like the least secure thing ever.
Exactly.
Like it's a fucking series of numbers.
It was never supposed to be that way, but it was so convenient because it like there was no other personal identification, like personal information tied to it. It was literally just the two most important things that you need in this society for people to track you: your tax info and your finances. That's it. That's all they need out of you. So that's why it's the way it is now. So, with that in mind, why couldn't it work for friend codes? Like,
true enough.
How much space does a me take up? Like, nothing. Like, a JPEG of a me.
How many blocks?
That you could measure that in blocks. I don't know how much a block was worth in GameCube times. You could measure that in blocks.
I hate that they do that. I hate that they have their own stupid little proprietary measurement for data. Like, just tell me what it is in megabytes, you dumbasses.
Yeah, they actually... That's kind of bullshit. Because I lost out on a lot of valuable opportunities to learn about computer storage from having to deal with things in, like, fucking blocks. Like, yeah, where's your...
Literally, like adult, like operating systems. And you're like, where are the blocks on this? What is a byte?
Where's the
how many blocks is this baby? Like the... slaps hood of gaming rig. Oh man, the blocks on this baby.
I would literally walk into like Office Depot and be like, "Excuse me, how many blocks are in this floppy disk? I need to store a lot of Microsoft Word documents.
How many me's can I fit in here?
Where's the C stick on this keyboard? Yeah, Mario Kart is bad with friends. Don't play it with your friends because they will...
Mario Kart is very good with
Mario
friends.
Mario Kart's very bad with friends because what your friends will do is they will neglect to tell you that they are, like, several orders of magnitude better than Mario Kart, better at Mario Kart
cannot
than you
confirm.
Because they have been playing it for longer and they've been sort of, not on, like, a mountain goat, sort of bashing their heads together violently in a sort of mutual crucible to improve each other's skills so that they can pounce on a third unsuspecting friend later and just make him feel wildly inadequate. Thanks, Kate. So that's Mario Kart Final Mix Plus. We can move on.
Okay. Do you want to talk about MoviePass?
Yeah, let's talk about MoviePass. Tell me about the...
Fuck a MoviePass!
Tell me about the beautiful dream I had where the proletariat could go see movies more than two times a year. Tell me about that beautiful dream.
Well, I guess someone just had it in their minds that we all deserved to go to the movies. Some beautiful dreamer.
Some wild animal.
Somebody with just...
some crazy ambition.
Some crazy diamond with...
yeah.
Big data on the mind. Decided to take a gamble and say somebody must just be absolutely frothing at the mouth. Just have a massive, massive hard-on, a throbbing erection
for Minions.
For the data that one would accrue we offered unlimited access to movies.
Yeah.
Somebody must have just an just a ridiculously unchecked desire for this completely useless data.
You kind of blew your wad with the erection there. I feel like the erection metaphor would have been good at the end, but you were a little overzealous there.
Noted. It's noted. yeah, no. Look, listen, everybody knew that this thing was going to sink, and like the reason for that is, like, as I mentioned, like they just wanted to sell data to like people who didn't exist. Nobody wants to know what movies people will see for free. Like that isn't like, that's not a market trend. That isn't like, what do you do with that? Like, where does that fit in a like, in a graph, in a consumer report? Like, what is that?
Well, who I can is that see, for? I can see it. Like, I can. Here's the problem. I can see where Gerald MoviePass, the inventor of MoviePass, yeah. I can see where Gerald sort
it's
of
pronounced. Went. It's pronounced MoviePass.
Please. Gerald MoviePass.
Gerald MoviePass.
Where Gerald MoviePass sort of looked at an empty spreadsheet in Microsoft Excel and was like, I bet if I could populate this spreadsheet with a graph, with a bar graph that has about 5 points of data on it a week going forever and ever and ever, amen, about what's people's favoriteest movie, then people would just fall over themselves. Because, like, data is data, right? And
no, that's the thing. I don't think... increasingly, data is not data.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, I think we could forgive Gerald for believing that data for data's sake, because at the sheer rate at which it's collected and the sheer volume, and, like, we don't do anything with any of it, and yet a bunch of people still get rich off of it. So I can sort of see where he's coming from.
Okay, fine. Look, if this had happened 4 or 5 years ago, in terms of that being the thing, absolutely. But people are losing trust in data already. Like,
yep, for sure.
It's already happening. So mm-hmm. It's completely off base. Like, their projections and, like, the plan in general, awful. Awful. So, of course, we were trying to write it out to its sweet... to the sweet, sweet, bittersweet end, I guess. And yeah. it was painful, honestly. We kind of avoided the last, like, the, like, final death spasms of it. A lot of people kind of, like, got kicked in the face while it was just, like, writhing in its deathbed because of, like, they literally ran out of money for 2 days and people couldn't actually go to the movies and use MoviePass. And then they changed, like, the biggest warning sign was the surge pricing stuff, where you couldn't go to the two movies that had, quote-unquote, high demand unless you paid a fee. Then after that, they started, and then the final, the death blow was 3 movies a month. That's
woof.
It.
Woof.
And discounted prices after that.
Oof.
Complete horseshit. I literally saw that news headline and I, like, texted, or, like, I called Brenda up. I'm like, hey, yo, it's over.
You called
Brenda.
The
dream
Brenda.
Is dead.
You called Brenda.
I'm calling time of death.
You called Brenda and you were like, you gave her the activation key and she took the movie pass out of her wallet, cut it up, threw it into the trash can, set the trash can on fire, then set off to C4 and blew up the apartment.
It was I think I'm gonna like frame mine or something. Like that baby saw me through some tough times. Got me through some tough times. That thing was awesome. Honestly, we wrung it dry.
Well, that's good. At least you got value out of it.
Oh, for sure. It felt wrong, Juan. Like it's probably not. No one person should have that much power. We saw so much bullshit in the movie theaters.
It was exactly what Gerald MoviePass would have wanted.
That's very true.
Before his untimely passing.
Yeah. There was a similar-ish service that's being provided by AMC called A-List. And we're thinking about just subscribing to that. That's $19.99, and it's like three movies a week. But you can use their website to buy tickets online, and it does include IMAX showings, and I think it includes 3D showings as well.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, it's pretty okay. We're thinking about just signing up for that. The bummer is that it's like the nearest AMC is, it's not the same. Like the Cinemark that we have is like literally like 5 minutes away. It's wildly convenient, so that's gonna be a bummer.
Yeah,
but hey,
it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird, isn't it, that like movie theaters are sort of the they're sort of limping across the finish line in this big old race we call capitalism. They're sort of limping across.
Are they though?
No,
people go to the movies.
No, but I mean they're limping across the finish line that is, or I should say the checkpoint. They're limping across the checkpoint of subscription business models as opposed to
the subscription era.
Yeah, exactly. Like
era.
We got ride sharing, we got streaming, we got like all this stuff, but like we still pay to own movie tickets when like a movie theater viewing is like the most ephemeral way that you can experience pretty much anything. So like it really does make sense to slap a subscription model on that bad boy. Like as soon as you have the infrastructure.
It totally does. Yeah. It just becomes like a gym membership, you know, at some point, you know, I could totally see it going that way.
Except it's much, much worse for your heart.
Or you know what? Just nationalized movie theaters.
Holy shit.
Turn public showings into like just some sort of weird government utility or something. I don't know.
Holy shit, dude. The Jimmy Carter movie theater. What president would you name a movie theater? You own one of the first nationalized movie theaters, or like you run it. You've been appointed. No. Shut up. Listen. You have been appointed House Undersecretary of Flicks.
Of Flicks.
And as part of the pilot program, you have to personally oversee and manage the first nationalized movie theater. What president do you name it after?
What president do I name it after?
Yeah, it has to be a president.
Has to be a president.
And the precise point of this exercise is that it's probably not going to be someone you look up to or respect in any way.
Give me a second. I have someone. I'm just making sure that I have the name right. Vice President Richard Hawk of Metal Wolf Chaos fame. Wait, hold on. I got it wrong. Well, you know what? Fuck it. I'll leave it. Nobody's going to know it anyway. So, yeah, that one. That's the one.
I would have done Ronald Reagan. That would have been the Ronald Reagan movie theater, but I wouldn't put a picture of Ronald Reagan anywhere. I would instead put a picture of Bobo the Chimp, who was his co-star in a variety of movies that Ronald Reagan was in when he was an actor.
Okay, that's pretty good.
I think that's a good goof.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Give him a shake. And just beat the devil out of him. That's when you find out who your friends are.
Oh boy, this is going to be one hell of a fine arts segment. I'm sorry, not fine arts. Arts and sciences. Because we are doing both.
We have sauntered across the quad and gone into the Jet Ed building to learn about arts and sciences.
Say Juan, do you know if we're running the Order of Yanni ads just yet? Do you know if we got the go-ahead to just put them up there in the beginning of the podcast?
Yeah, I'm not like a huge. We haven't been terribly kind to like the genre of polka on this show, so I'm not sure where the Order of Yanni sort of got the idea to run.
I can't
do this anymore. I literally need to know. I have no fucking idea what Yanni is.
Okay,
it's not even the same spelling.
No, it's not. It's not. Quick sidebar. Is Yanni not just easy jazz listening?
I think so.
So why polka?
Because I didn't know what. Like, I had to think of a good goof.
Okay. Yes, and.
You asked me about Order of Yanni ads.
Yes, and. Okay, so I'm going to read you a quick excerpt from the Order of Yanni's website, which prompted me with a must be 18 or older to enter. Imagine woman of your dreams, your object of desire. Her charm, whoa, her sensuality, her passion. Try how she tastes. Feel her smell. What? Hear her voice. Now imagine her giving you a passionate massage and gently whispering anything you'd like to hear. Now free your fantasies and imagine all of that can be closed in a bottle of beer, a golden drink brewed with her lure and grace and flavored with wild instincts. Imagine a beer which every sip offers a rendezvous with this hot woman of your dreams. She hugs you and kisses you gently, looking straight into your eyes. How much would you give for such a beer? We, the Order of Yanni, have prepared technology making creation of such unique beer possible. The beer containing quintessence of femininity. The technology enabling materializing her loveliness, gracefulness, and character, giving you the possibility of conversion of a tasty beer into a date with a real goddess. The secret of the beer lies in her vagina.
There's more.
But I'll leave it there. Because that's the perfect.
No, you have to finish.
Okay, fine. Using high tech of microbiology. This is not a company that is in the U.S., in the United States. Using high tech of microbiology, we isolate, examine, and prepare lactic acid bacteria from vagina of a unique woman.
What?
The bacteria lactobacillus transfer woman's features, allure, grace, glamour, and her instincts into beers and other products, turning them into dance with lovely goddess.
No.
Pussy beer, it's pussy beer, baby. Steve Austin gif.
Was this the end game for the bad guys from the Taken franchise?
Oh no, that's an awful...
Were they trying to steal Liam Neeson's female family members away from him to make pussy beer? What is this?
I don't know who you are, but I respect your entrepreneurial spirit.
Oh my god, a very special set of skills indeed.
This is like the next, like, Kingsman villain.
This is... Oh, my God. What? Okay. I really wish I... Wow, that's the biggest mistake I've ever made.
Actually, you know what? No, it's not the next Kingsman villain. I feel like the people in the Kingsman franchise would actually just drink this. I take that back.
Yeah, for sure, actually. They would voluntarily... Like, those would be the good guys. What country is this in?
Fuck. I feel like, okay, about us. Not about beer, about us. Soon! Exclamation mark. Is what I'm greeted with. Soon! Heritage.
Soon you will know about us. Soon you won't need this HTML, because you will know about us from cultural osmosis. Because we make the pussy beer.
You'll just know.
God, I don't know.
I don't know where they're at, actually.
Oh my god.
You're welcome.
This is challenging. This has brought us to a screeching halt. I'm sitting here, like, okay, this I haven't been able to move from my seat the entire time you've been talking, and the last thing I was able to do with my human body was open up Yanni's Wikipedia page, and now he's just staring at me while I try to confront this.
You think Yanni would order pussy beer?
It's just a really pleasant picture of Yanni from 2007, so he still looks really good. And I'm trying to confront... Oh my god, what is... Okay, first of all, lactic acid. Let's get into that. I'm not, like, a Dr. Mario or anything like that.
You're more of a Dr. Luigi.
But I know that lactic acid is the thing that makes your muscles hurt after you move them a bunch.
So you're saying this is pussy bone hurting juice?
How do you get the lactic acid out of the muscles in the puss? What is happening?
Do you want me to read the thing again?
I don't want you to read the thing again.
Okay, hold on. Wait, let me just... The way they do it, Juan, is by using high tech of microbiology.
If microbiology... if the field... Listen, okay, disclaimer, just at the top here, we're going to read way too much into this because it's probably funny, although I don't even know yet. I'm not even going to commit 100% to that. But, like, clearly all of this is just full-throttle nonsense. Like, this
is... You think it's just a gag?
No, I don't think it's a gag. I think they literally, like, I think Vladimir booted up his computer one day and got on a fucking IRC chat and was like, Piotr, what say we start a new scam internet business today? And Piotr was like, you got it, Vladimir. What should we do this time? Something that's, something that will have a lot of people wanting to export it. So that, you know, our scam can go on long enough for the time it takes for a box of inert dynamite and tracksuits to get to the United States before they realize they've been had. Okay, what about beer? I don't know. That sounds good. But what if it was pussy beer? Great. We Boom. Got it. That's why you're the boss, Vladimir.
Boom goes the inert dynamite.
Like... This is all, like, they just threw a bunch of words into this. Like, I get it. Like, haha, fun joke. This is not real. But, like, if you had even the faintest inclination that you wanted this to, like, be convincing to somebody. Okay, microbiology, lactic acid.
High-tech
of microbiology, lactic acid, a woman whispering into your ear while she gives you a massage, and also she's your beer. None of these things make me want to buy beer.
Maybe you're just None not the, the target like, audience. Maybe you just don't understand. Maybe this is too high concept for you.
I would like my beer... I like my beer to be a couple things. I like my beer to be low technology.
No microbiology?
No microbiology. No high tech of microbiology. No high tech of anything.
Medium biology. Medium tech?
Low tech of fermentation. Okay. I don't want the sensation to be of a sensuous woman whispering into my ear. I would much prefer my beer to be just sort of... I want the feeling that it gives me to be a very warm, slightly obese cat lying on my tummy. That's my that's the feeling that my ideal beer, I think, would give me. And
what
finally,
if I read you... Okay, go, sorry. Yeah, continue.
No... Listen to me. No... genitalia.
What if I read the safety disclaimer?
Please, would that maybe, please. I'm very concerned about this high tech of microbiology.
I feel like that would help assuage your fear, your concerns here. The crucial part of the project is to ensure the safety of the product. First of all, I feel like I should be reading this in like a Russian accent. First of all, the material is examined on the presence of other bacteria and viruses. So you don't have to worry about it, Juan. It's examined on the presence of other bacteria and viruses. And secondly, the procedures of isolation and preparation, both isolation and preparation, Juan, they both prevent other bacteria and viruses from surviving, providing final product completely clean and healthy. They're saying it right there. It's clean and healthy. In addition, we examine final product. they examine final product on presence of other viruses and bacteria once again, so threefold. And the findings will be published here to make you completely sure it's healthy. It's clean, healthy, and healthy.
Hey, Dick, the bacteria that I do not want in my beer is the pussy juice.
Well, then that's, I feel like that's where we're, like where this isn't aligning with your interests, I guess. So maybe we should just fucking go with the Smirnoff then, the way we usually do. Like, I can't believe that we drove all the way to the gas station here in order. This is the one gas station in Jacksonville that has the fucking pussy beer, and you're pussying out from the pussy beer.
Hey, this is weird. This is weird on a lot of levels. I had to, like, I couldn't resist. I've probably muted out the sound of me furiously typing on my keyboard, but I have made it to orderyanni.com. I've made it. I'm here. And I'll be quite honest with you. I didn't want to get here because the link I clicked on to get to orderyanni.com was not something that, like, I didn't think it was the website, because the title of the link in the Google search results, in the index, in the robots.txt, the title of this page is Indiegogo.
Yeah,
but it does take you straight to the, I guess, the overly scrupulous folks at Indiegogo took a look at the pussy beer and were like, hard pass.
Don't know about this one, folks.
Don't know about...
How many people do you think made it to order Yanni.com thinking that they were just going to get some sweet, smooth jazz?
Order Yanni to play at your house.
This is so sad, Alexa. Play. I can't even think of a Yanni song title.
You know what song would play? You know what song would play, though? It would be Pepsi by Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's a deep cut for you Lana Del Rey fans out there.
There you go. We do nothing. It's for the fans.
Yep. Okay. The title of this page is Indiegogo, and I think that the reason is that they're making it look like they're trying to, like, con people into thinking that they're on Indiegogo, because there is a literal
Indiegogo link,
and they've got like the reward. Thing. Hey, listen.
They have a wall of fame. Juan, they have a wall of fame.
No, I'm done with the Wall of Fame. You know what? I'm done with the Wall of Fame. I'm done with the custom Zippos. I'm done with the custom iPhone 8 covers. I'm done with the custom ties. I'm done with the custom polo shirt. I'm done with the custom belt. I'm done with all of that because at 10,000 euros voucher for 60 bottles of 500 milliliter/16.9 fluid ounce beer produced on your girlfriend's vaginal bacteria, plus bacteria to produce homemade kefir. Listen, we gotta stop.
I feel as like...
As a society, we need to stop.
We live in a society.
Listen, I know we were got, like, the space thing was gonna pan out. The global warfare was going to pan out. The mass class genocide, all that was going to pan out, and we were going to get somewhere. But we need to. We're scrapping all of that now.
I think your visceral reaction is due to the fact that you now have intimate knowledge of Elon Musk's anniversary present. Okay, so let's move on.
Honey, what's this 10,000 euro charge out of her bank? Don't worry about it. I'm going to Russia on business.
I'm saving the water crisis. Okay, so the next item on this Google document, would you like to read that out for me?
Yeah. It says here, Jerry and Rita Alter. And the Alter is capitalized, so I'm assuming...
That's a last name. That is, in fact, a last name. That is a... Okay. A former lovely couple. They unfortunately recently passed away. They were, neighbors in a small New Mexico town of Cliff. Apparently, they led relatively not really noteworthy lives, I guess. It's they were, you know, the that one elderly couple that you kind of see hanging around the neighborhood. So they recently passed away, and I guess they kind of passed away within like a short amount of time from within each other. I don't know if they both passed away at their home or if like if they just passed away in the hospital together.
Hey, Scooter.
Yeah.
Hey, Scooter. Hey, bud. I trust you. But we just spent the better part of 15 minutes talking about pussy beer, so I hope this isn't too drastic of a tonal shift for our audience.
Absolutely not. Turns out that okay. Mr. and Mrs. Rita, upon their passing, you know, the authorities, I guess, had to look up. I don't know how it happens that people like go over like the recently deceased's belongings and kind of like determine like what goes where, I guess.
Next of kin and all that
stuff. Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't know if they even had like next of kin. Like they were just kind of, you know, they kept to themselves. So the recently deceased Jerry and Rita Alter left behind a 100 million Willem de Kooning painting. Sorry, my mistake. $160 million William de Kooning painting. It turns out that they were I might be making some jumps in logic, but it turns out that Mr. and Mrs. Frickin' Alter were art thieves who just kind of made it into into retirement, maybe.
Cool.
More than 30 years ago, painting had disappeared the day after Thanksgiving from the University of Arizona of the Arizona Museum of Art in Tucson.
Whoa.
Yeah. Apparently, people just kind of I'm gonna read what it says on this article here. Apparently, the couple was in fact in Tucson the day that the fucking painting vanished.
Fuck yeah.
Like they looked up. Like they were like, oh, so does this mean what you think it means? Were they like black market art dealers, or were they like, or were they like actual like art thieves?
That's fucking cool. I wish I'd have been like the Tucson deputy sheriff who like looked that shit up, and I was like, it was like Andy Garcia in the last scene of Ocean's 11 where he realizes like, oh shit, George Clooney got me, and he stole my wife / girlfriend.
You guys gotta see this. It just points out the monitor. It just says Rita and Jerry, like, signed on the, like, it's like a scan document of the people who, like, walked into the museum that day, and it's just, like, signed Jerry and Rita, and it's just, like, there's, like, a happy face next to their names.
It just said, you've been had, toots.
What could they have meant by that? It eluded the detectives for years, but now they finally have enough evidence to put the case to rest.
Holy shit, that's awesome!
Yeah, that's apparently the painting in question was Woman Ochre. That's the name of it.
Yeah.
So that's fucking rad as hell, dude. Like, I don't know. Like, I've been seeing some sick ass crime shit in the news lately. I don't know if you saw that, like, those thieves who literally like stole some like royal jewels and like escaped on a jet ski.
What? No.
Yeah, they stole royal jewels and like they pulled it off. So maybe we'll just have to like start a new segment, like, sick ass crime.
True crime. Truly rad crime.
This is not a true crime podcast.
No. There's enough of those. But there are, you know, hey, I'll say this, there's probably more gaming and non-committal pop culture podcasts than there are true crime podcasts.
Oh, for sure, absolutely. Do you want to, with that very surprising twist? Do you want to like just leave it there?
Yeah, I think that's one to think on. I would love for our listeners to think on how they can better live their lives in line with Jerry and Rita Alter.
Absolutely.
Holy shit.
Model citizens.
Let's talk about music.
music? I thought you wanted. I thought maybe we could. Oh fuck! I see. I see what we're missing on this podcast. I completely forgot that we were doing this. All right. Let's do this shit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the big deal is. You know, I just thought we'd take it easy and go into the new Jaden Smith vehicle, Sire, the Electric album.
Oh yeah.
I'm big into it, actually. Really like. I think he's maturing at an accelerated. Oh, what? Oh. Oh man. Oh, okay.
What's up?
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, you know what those royalty-free hip-hop beats means? It means it's time for another episode of Pony Verified, where we talk to local artists and try and get them to give us the scoop on their creative process.
The hot beats.
And
their
creative output.
The hot beats on these hot beats.
Hot beats, hot beats, hot beats. Beats on beats on. Bars
beats
on bars
beats.
On bars. Yeah. Today's guest is Celestial Winter Trash, which is the latest artistic project from Joseph Andrew Escabi.
I hate you. truly.
Escabi.
You're getting Yanni beer for your fucking birthday next year.
The debut LP from Celestial Winter Trash is called Lying to Your Teeth. It's out now on SoundCloud. It's a playful, exuberant, freshman offering from this artist.
I think that's the first time someone's described it as exuberant.
Well, it is exuberant. I don't know what you want from me.
No, thank you.
It's objectively exuberant. But it is also tempered, you know, by its thematic underpinnings. You know, it's inspired a lot by you know, things that are near and dear to the artist, you know, like eldritch fiction and the occult,
Raul Julia
dialectics or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, eldritch dialectics. That's it for me.
I've kept this charade up as long as I can.
You've done an admirable job. Good job being a fake music reviewer.
Thank you.
When do you start at Pitchfork?
This is my Pitchfork
blog.
I guess
blog like
feature. It's my Pitchfork sizzle reel, I guess is what you would call it.
Okay.
Okay. Listen. Let's start up with a couple questions. So first of all, which track on this 11-track LP is your favorite one, and why is it The Dissolution of Costa Carpenter?
That's your favorite? That's Brenda's favorite, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. Why is it your favorite, though?
Well, I don't even know if it is my favorite, but it's definitely...
Then why not?
Why not? Well, I like the ones that I guess I'm pretty partial to the ones that like I got to finger pick on, I guess.
Oh, well, I guess that's true. And there is some
the intimate ones.
There's some deft picking. On
no,
this
there's
one.
Not.
there's which some I know there is. Picking. I deeply okay. Hey, don't be a dick because there's a lot of people out here who can't finger pick. At all, so, you know.
Listen,
maybe just check your pick privilege.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll leave it. I'll check it out the door
for like a minute.
Okay, I'll do that. I like Costa Carpenter a lot, and that's initially I started writing it because there's actually a duo of songs on this album that is like inspired by like a web comic that I guess I was eventually going to maybe write. Somewhere down the line, and that's one of those. It's
Shit.
Almost every song on the album is a character study, but that one was like is like a character study of one character from that webcomic. So
interesting.
Yeah, so there's that's why maybe that one is kind of I don't know. Maybe there's a vibe to it that you can dig because it is about like a washed up like band member who had to like quit. The music scene because he fucking well the lore of it is that he played in a grindcore band and fucking blew his lungs out screaming so loud. So I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, no, I like that song a whole bunch too. Why is it your jam?
I'll tell you why. Because it's the one where I get to hear, Jose sort of come out of their comfort zone.
Okay.
In terms of vocal expression.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of no other song I think on this LP better demonstrates the range. Not necessarily like, oh, it's the complete like. It's all four octaves, you know, like, but it's certainly, it goes beyond any of the other tracks on the LP, and it's, it demonstrates, you know, oh, just because, you know, they don't generally operate in this range, it's, you know, it's not only possible, but it sounds good and it comes naturally. And I think that's very cool to sort of, you know, not lean on that, and explore, have it as just one arrow in the quiver, so to speak, in this arsenal of musical delights.
Well, I've thought about like going deeper, going higher, and there might be songs with like deeper vocals in the future. Just I like trying new things out, you know, especially since I'm not beholding to anyone since nobody really listens to anything, so I can do whatever. That's the best part.
You can do whatever you want.
There are no expectations.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the best.
So what's your favorite? Okay, what do you think? Okay, what do you think is the most fire bar on this LP?
The most fire bar? Can't be the Spanish song, because most of the listenership, if there would be one, wouldn't really.
I'll get to that one afterwards.
Okay. I'm partial to Familiar Bandits, I guess.
Okay.
That concept is near and dear to me. I guess the the second verse is pretty good to me. I like dramatic moments in music.
Can you just give us a taste? Can you just break us off a piece of that Kit Kat bar?
I don't want to do that. I don't want to read off lyrics.
I mean, no, you could just say what the bar is, because I'm about to name like what I think is the most fire bar for my money.
Oh.
So you might as well just dip a toe in here.
You go ahead.
You might as well.
You know what? No, you go ahead.
My personal favorite, if I'm not mistaken, is on the second track, It Keeps Me Up.
Yeah.
There's a nice bridge, I think, that goes gay, gay, gay,
uh-huh,
as the day is,
yeah,
long, and not too much for sleep.
Yep. Not too much for sleep, yeah.
So that means it's like gay squared.
Yes. Yeah, Sonic Fox tier.
Or gay to the... Man, why don't you have a bonus track here about Sonic Fox?
That's in the forthcoming LP.
Hey, what if the next LP is like, you remember Beat the Champ?
Yeah,
it's what if just esports. Beat the Champ, but about fighting video games instead of wrestling.
It could be about a furry competitor. No, not a furry. Like somebody who's really into Vor, and I could just call it. I could call it Eat the Champ.
Oh fuck!
There you go.
That's very good.
Yeah. But speaking of the Mountain Goats, I guess that is like an inspiration. Like generally, like before, I guess like running in or like getting exposed to music like that, it was kind of hard for me to write stuff, and being able to write things around a loose narrative really helps, I guess. Because most of these songs, mm-hmm, have really loose narratives, but it helps to convey like stuff like the Mountain Goats and Hold Steady. Like they all have like rough conceptual frameworks, and that helps them like hang a lot of
like emotions off of like the basically the coat hanger of a narrative. Like the narrative mm-hmm. is there almost just for shows in some songs. Not so much in the whole study. The whole study is like a sprawling fucking narrative. So not so much there, but certainly in like
yeah, but like the episodic stuff is.
Mm-hmm. So
it helps. I think it helps to you know hang your sort of like who knew you could just write about your feelings, right? Yeah, but that's boring.
Exactly. You know,
like, if you hang
it's hard to put yourself out there that way. You know, and I've never been much for like confessional poetry or anything like that. Kind of been averse to that. So like.
Yeah, it's some middle school shit.
Being able to like just deploy that kind of songwriting has been nice to do, and it's been good for it's been a good outlet, I guess, in terms of creativity. I feel like it's helped in just like starting the process for like writing a song out, because like when you write something you're like, well, what. Like I have like a rough idea in mind, but like there's like the bones of the song just aren't there, you know. So I feel like loose narratives are super, super helpful for like anybody who wants to get into maybe writing music. I was just doing that, you know, just watch a movie, watch a show, or read a thing, and fucking just write a song about it, maybe. A lot of
yeah. Or record a podcast about
it. I mean, I think a lot of people's favorite song is Sleep Near's Wood, which is literally just, it's almost like, I mean, it's not an exact, like, rendition, I guess, but it's a pretty close adaptation of, or at least it's really close to a Netflix, some small, like, horror, indie horror movie, The Ritual. It's on Netflix, actually. It's a pretty damn good movie. But that's I do it a lot. Like I watch something and I'm like, oh yeah, I could write a song about that, or you know, like, I mean, there's a song that's like literally like a continuation of like Hereditary on there. So I don't know. It's really cool.
Oh.
And
see, that'd be I wish there was somebody here, somebody sitting in this chair other than me who like you would be the perfect person to interview yourself.
Well, no, it's just.
But I guess now that I think about it, that's the trial of all music journalists is to, you know.
That is kind of the hard part about doing music journalism, I guess. Yeah, kind of like coaxing stuff out by trying to be on the same wavelength as someone who doesn't want to give too much, because that's part of like people ask sometimes like, oh, so what's this song about, or like what happened in this song, and I'm like, hey, you know, I mean, do you really want to know, or would you rather just
it,
kind
you,
of
you lazy fuck.
Yeah, that's exactly what I say. First of all, I ask them, who are you?
How'd you get in my house?
I'm in bed right now.
Put my cat down.
For the love of God,
put my three cats down.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it's people ask that, and that's, I mean, I understand the like urge to ask that, but I guess I look at it the same way as I do poetry. You know, like it's not so much the why; it's about the how. You know, or the what.
Yeah,
or it's more the how.
If you get something out of it, then that's
exactly whatever you got out of it is what happened, man. You know, man.
Yeah. Well, I certainly got a lot out of this LP. Certainly.
Did you like it? Is it good?
I did. I genuinely like. I enjoyed the whole of it. I listened to it. I had never listened to it like cover to cover.
Mm-hmm. Raúl Julia to Raúl Julia.
It works so well as a unit, and I'm really glad of it because
absolute unit.
This took like I listened to each one as you wrote it. As they were coming
out. Oh yeah, you you were a guinea pig.
I got my own little behind the music for one person.
You got to be the person who I told like, oh, this is a rough draft, and then it never changes.
But I genuinely really I thought it was really cool, and I'm a little peeved that you haven't made the tracks available for download. I don't know what that's about.
Is that something that you can just turn on SoundCloud?
Because my mom asked the same thing. How do I download these things on the iPhone?
You have to enable it on your end.
Okay, I'll do that. I don't care for making money. Like, this is not, like, a money thing. So, yeah, I'll just do that.
But, yeah, that's Lying to Your Teeth. Find it on SoundCloud. It's very good. Hopefully you can download it, put it on a
flash drive. I'll turn it on my end. It'll be available for download when this is available to listen to.
Yeah, good. That way I don't have to find a way to download it illegally.
Yeah, no. I think it's up on BitTorrent. BitTorrent. If you download a torrent client, it just automatically links you to, like, someone's file sharing.
That's the reason the torrent client is like 50 megabytes bigger than it should be.
Yeah. All right, so is that it for the show?
Yeah, I think we got that's a show. That's one in the can.
Sweet.
I'm Howard Stern, and this has been Podcasts Will Never Help You.
And I am extremely tired.
Hi, tired. I'm Dad.
God.
That'd have been funnier if I had a kid.
If you had a kid. You think you just have a kid in order to pull that joke off? Like, you call your child into the room whenever you make the joke. hey, come here. I'm gonna do the thing.
Yeah.
They love it. They'll love it.
Yeah, this has been Podcast Will Never Help You. But I hope we helped you find some new music and some aspirational goals vis-a-vis a career in crime.
Yeah, absolutely. Do crime. Lots. Podcast may never help you, but crime will.
Yep. Find us on Twitter at PWNHY. And find us, you know, we already said it. So do you have something to play us out on?
Do you want a choice track from Lying to Your Teeth?
That'd be good.
Okay, we'll figure it out in post. Here's a It Keeps Me Up.
Ooh.
There you go. There's a hot one for your earbuds.
Good night, everybody.
The only reason why nothing's managed to kill me, haven't called my folks in years. It keeps me up, it keeps me up.